Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, B-Fan Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and as always, thank you for giving me your time. Today, I'm here with...
Danny Roque, official Danny Roque.
Tight. And tell us just a little bit about yourself, Danny. Like, where you from? What school? Like, we know you go here. Like, what do you do? Just a little small stuff.
Yeah, so pretty much I'm from L.A., moved to San Pedro, moved to Lakewood. So, L.A. County, born and raised.
Mm-hmm.
Business student here at USC, and... pretty much what I do is I go to school, run a marketing agency, and I'm really trying to like be an entrepreneur and hopefully set myself up before it's, you know, time to graduate and, you know, the Indeed and Handshake comes knocking. I got to start applying.
Yeah, man. But you were talking about how you really want to talk about like social media and sort of like not just social media, but like expanding your horizons, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. What I noticed across this like break was in my time here, I've noticed that everyone wants to do consulting. They want to do finance.
Yeah.
And the thing about those careers that I noticed is it pretty much becomes their life. And that's all that you do. You go to your investment banking job. You work 100 hours per week.
100 is insane.
And then what I noticed is like there's people on social media making like brain rot content or like just... very, like, not even work stuff. And they're making, like, three times as much as these people that are, like, super educated, working their tails off.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm trying to get in on that. Mm-hmm. So, just been playing around with it.
And do you feel like the market for that is going to, like, shrink because of what's happening in TikTok? Do you think you could still get that same type of reach on Instagram? Or I don't know. I haven't been on Snapchat since like 8th grade, so I don't really know.
Hey, hold on. Snapchat, bro, tell me what. White girls still mess with Snapchat, bro.
Really?
That's still a big thing.
They own that.
Yeah, like.
Like, that's all them know.
I was at the club and like, of course I had to shoot my shots up. And then I start asking like, oh, what's your IG? Oh, you got Snap? I'm like, what the hell?
VSCO. What do they be using?
I'm like, nah, I don't have Snap, but sorry, what are we going back to?
We was talking about TikTok shutting down. So do you feel like the market for what you want to do now is shrinking?
Possibly, honestly, but I feel like TikTok was not really something I was on until recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like IG is really, it's really good. I've seen people like making good money off of IG and they only have like 20,000 followers.
Right.
You can make money off that. Brands will reach out to you, send you stuff. So if not TikTok, I'm going to have to move on to the next one. Red Note. There's always going to be something there, right?
Yeah. And so, like, I don't know. Just even growing up, what did you, like, want to do? Like, what were a lot of the careers you wanted to do, like, based off of?
Hoop dreams?
Yeah. Sports players. Like, back then, bro, I thought NBA was it. I thought I was gone. I for sure thought I was gone. But I feel like that confidence and that me thinking that I can go to the NBA is like really what propelled me to be where I am now. Because I don't even want to go to the NBA anymore. But like for me to think I could, I feel like, you know, Kanye-esque when he was like, if I wanted to go to the NBA, I could. And the guy was just sitting there hating on the interview talking about, no, you couldn't. You're like, yeah, I could. But like you could see in his eyes that he truly believes that. And so I think that's important with anything you do. You know what I mean?
I've been trying to brainwash myself to start thinking like that.
Really?
Bro. Yeah, like, there's hella creators out here making content, and, like, a lot of people can say, oh, screw this, I'm only getting 500 views.
Yeah.
I'm still pumping stuff out every day, bro. I don't care. I know I'm going to make it. That's pretty much it, like you said.
So what do you want your brand to be?
Oh, man, I feel like right now I'm starting off just, like, making dumb like content, being funny. I've always been like a class clown.
Yeah.
But eventually I would want to pivot into something more that has more substance where like people can really, you know, mess with me more such where they can like I can be the community and just like more intellectual stuff. But for now I'm just playing around with the memes.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kinda I don't know. I was kind of in the same boat, like, growing up. Like, Vine was, like, my shit, bro. Like, I really liked Vine. And I would try to make Vines and stuff. And I was getting mad at myself because I was, like, 11. I'm like, bro, it's not blowing up. But I'm 11, bro. Like, what do I need to be famous for?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess those certain expectations I had on myself, even that young, again, have put me in the position to where I am now. So, I don't know. That can be a love and hate relationship. But what else did you want to be, like, growing up? Like, the hoop dreams, what else? That was it?
That was it. Hoop dreams, bro. I was like, I'm going to make it to the league. I get into middle school. People already dunking, bro. I'm like 4'9". I'm like, okay. Or maybe I'm not going to play at UCLA and then play for the Lakers.
It's all right,
bro. Yeah, yeah.
It's okay. In another life, probably. Because you're like 6 foot something now, bro.
Yeah, I had a growth spurt, crazy growth spurt, but wasn't enough.
It wasn't quick enough? Was it fast enough?
Wasn't enough. No scouts came.
Man, I really want to go to the WWE.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, bro. Like, I wanted to be like Jeff Hardy. I wanted to be like Rey Mysterio, Evan Bourne, the Ultimate Warrior, Ricky Steamboat. Like super just old guys, just everybody.
Bro, Jeff Hardy was tough.
Bro, he had me jumping off of stuff like crazy. And I'm not saying that like he bad influence. That's like a good influence. Thank you for allowing me to jump off of shit.
That's how, even though his style, like, I feel like he always had some crazy stuff going on, like painted nails and like crazy hair and the face paint.
But he sort of started that wave though.
Oh, yep. Yep.
Think so?
He was probably one of the first ones I've seen with that style.
And like everybody's just like rocking with it. Cause I know it's more so like sometimes it can be like a sensitive subject to touch on, like, you know, people like who can paint their nails, how they can paint their nails. But he was sort of like, I seen that and just was like, yeah. Like, not saying I wanted to go do it or anything, but like I was just like, I was so accepting of it because of the way he rocked it. So maybe that's like a philosophy we can adopt too.
Seriously, bro, I've never thought about that. And this was like, what, 2012?
It's like 2008.
For real?
Before 2008. Jeff Hardy was popping,
bro. Bro.
Like 2000s, man.
And I do not remember anyone like giving them, you know, anything crap for it. Yeah. Right?
We just accepted it for what it, bro.
Because he was so tough. He was just you couldn't so say anything. Cool,
bro. So yeah. Now that I see it, it's sort of, I like that mentality to where it's like, I'm a rocket. I'm going to be my character. You know what I'm saying? When you're in a WWE, everybody has their characters, but it doesn't seem like anybody's character strays away from who they are as a real person.
Yep.
Like, when I go see, like, Jeff Hardy videos, like, sometimes I see him on TikTok now, because he got a daughter and stuff like that. I see him, like, doing TikToks with his daughter. He just still looks so cool, bro. It's like Tony Hawk, bro. Tony Hawk was, like, extremely influential in my life, because I just thought he was a super cool guy. I always wanted to, like, skateboard and do, like, the extreme sports and stuff.
Yeah.
I got to take myself back to that, bro. I'm tripping. I done lost sight of the vision, bro. I still want to learn how to snowboard.
Okay.
I just want to do stuff. That's sort of what I've been doing for, like, the year now. This is, I'm getting a call. What? What's up? Oh, dang, I had to put it on voicemail. I wanted to text him. I don't know what he's saying. Anyways, he leaving a voicemail. Oh, he didn't leave a voicemail. What was we talking about, gang?
Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. The snowboard and extreme sports. Just doing stuff. So, like, this year, bro, I really just been on building small habits, like, incremental, bro. Like, nothing crazy. Like, I want to watch a movie a day. That's, like, what, 2 hours out of my day that I would have spent on social media anyway, so I might as well sit down and, you know, watch a movie. I really like to write. So just write one thing a day, you know what I'm saying? Boom. I can be an author if I want to be. I don't necessarily need the title or validation from everybody else, but I can sort of be a self-acclaimed author.
Yeah.
And another thing is that I had to stop putting myself down for, I created these certain expectations for myself in terms of, like, what an author does or what an artist does. Like, I really like to paint. I've been painting for a really long time now. And it's sort of, because I'm able to do it so natural, like, I guess you could say I work fast-paced. I just like to get stuff done. So I'll sit down and paint for 10 hours straight if I want to get it done in that day. Now, if I feel like it can wait for the next day, I'll probably try to set it to the side. But I'm somebody who can lock in. So I can sit down and do a painting 10 hours straight and be done with it. But sometimes I will sort of, I guess you could say, invalidate myself because I was like, well, I did it too quick. It didn't take me 3 years to paint this, so it's not worth much. Or if I were to write a poem in like 10 minutes, that was really profound and deep to me, but because I didn't take 2 hours to write it, it don't really mean anything. So I'm trying to sort of get rid of these, like, these small, I guess you could say, like, dust mites in my brain, or like these little termites. Yeah, little baby termites.
Little like negative self-talk.
Yeah, like, and I'm I'm creating a positive change for myself, but I'm sort of negating it by letting these baby termites eat away at the, you know, the positive things. You know what I'm saying? And just like, I'm getting in the way of my own dopamine.
Dude, I totally feel that.
You get it?
Yeah, I've been going through that as of recent too. Really? Bro. Yeah.
Take us through it, man.
It's pretty much, you know, start the year off. You're in school again. We had the little break.
Yeah.
You know, I was making my little business moves, trying to close deals, hopping on calls, doing work for clients. And then you're back in school and it's like, you know, it's so slow paced that first week, but there's like a lot of menial work. Like, you got to read through the syllabus. You have to do these small assignments. You have to do this to get participation credit.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking to myself the entire time, my mind's just telling me like, oh, you shouldn't even be doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, you should be making money moves and all that. And it's like, what's the point of even being enrolled here if I'm going to be thinking like this?
Right.
Just this is like negative talk and it's just going to like drain my energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to like be more mindful and just be grateful, you know?
And where are we at like right now? Yeah, it sucks to, you know, be in class all day, but I'm trying to pay more attention because I realized like a lot, like last semester before that, you know, just getting here, you know, we go to class, we wake up, we eat, and we rush to class to sit on our computer, like to look up everything else but class, you know? So it's like, I'm sort of trying to get myself back into the space to where I just pay attention. You know, we complain about how hard things are or how this is and how that is, but we never sit down and like pay attention to what's going on in front of us. Maybe it'd be a little bit easier, or I don't know. Seeing difficulty is not like a triumph or anything or something that's in a way, but sort of a game to be played. It's hard. You know, the worst thing I could do is learn. You know what I'm saying? Or right. I guess the worst thing I could do is fail in a sense, but if I'm actively trying to learn what's going on, I should be fine at the end of the day. Sort of like taking myself more serious, but taking everything else a little less serious. That sounds a bit contradictory. I don't mean to sound too poetic there. But
no, can you walk me through that?
So it's like take myself serious as in terms of what I do does matter for myself. Yeah. A lot of the actions I take, I don't want to put this on everybody else, but say, using like going to the gym as an example, right? I go to the gym, I do like these, you know, whatever workouts I do. And if I don't see immediate progress, I sort of like get on myself and be like, well, you're not lifting heavy enough. Or if the weight isn't extremely heavy, about to kill me, I say, well, it was whatever. You know what I'm saying? That was easy, I guess. You know, sort of like dismissing what I'm doing, which is waking up and going to the gym, and sort of taking myself more serious and saying, like, yeah, you lifted that weight. Remember when you couldn't lift the weight? Remember when the weight was a little bit less? Now I'm lifting heavier. You know what I'm saying? My reps look a little bit cleaner. I'm moving more smooth. You know what I'm saying? So taking myself serious in the standpoint of like, yeah, you're a human, bro. Like, this is okay, right? And you're making moves and stuff. And then taking life a little less serious in terms of, if I fail this class, I'm never going to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm not on time to class, then that's it. You know what I'm saying? I got to take it like a little bit less serious. Not saying it's not important at all, but okay, I'm late 5 minutes to class. What did I miss? 5 minutes of talking? You know what I'm saying? Like, that can be important because, you know, your life can change in under a minute. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, why would I take everything to that extremity? I'm going to be anxious like every day. I'm going to be anxious all the time. If I'm thinking everything is so, so serious. And I take life with this, like, playful tone with it. I'm in class. Let's interact with the teacher. You know what I'm saying? Let me press this button. What does this do? Let me talk to the guy to my right. Let me just laugh. You know what I'm saying? How can I interact more with life? How can I make it a little less, I guess, dire? You know what I'm saying? Like, we get in the mindset of, oh, I'm not going to be successful. I'm not making, you know, $100,000 a day. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be successful. $1,000 isn't in my bank account right now.
Yep.
But you're successful every day. You know what I'm saying? You wake up, you open your eyes, you laugh, you smile, you cry, you get mad. That's success right there. You know what I'm saying? Being able to experience every emotion. And so, you know, just not putting life on a pedestal. Not taking it too serious, but not, you know, dismissing it, not like blowing everything off. So it's sort of this new balance that I'm trying to find. I wake up even earlier now. Well, I've always woken up early to, like, go to the gym and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's easy to get in your own head when you wake up there early. You be like, man, I'll just, you know, just sleep in, bro. I'm tired, this and that. And then by the time you get up, what, after an hour more of sleep, you start your day. But you missed out on an hour of stuff that you really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Like, if I wanted to go to the gym at 6 because I got a class at 8, I lost an hour of progress because I wanted to wake up at 7 instead and then trick myself into thinking I don't have enough time to go to the gym now. It was me who caused that situation. So now when I get up at 6, I'm like, all right, bro, what you going to do anyway? Sitting here on your phone if you can't fall back to sleep, just get up and go. You know, mm-hmm. Life is out there waiting for you. Just go experience it.
That's fire, Austin.
Thanks, bro.
I love that you say, you know, you've been trying to adopt a playful attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's going to be, that's exactly the same thing I've been trying to adopt as well. I feel like, like you said, when you're anxious all the time, it really drains your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what stops you from showing up every day. You're like, oh, it's so much pressure. I just want to, like, stay in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But when you, like, approach it and you're okay with failing, like you said, bro, that's absolutely fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you have any recent, like, things where you failed off of, like, just being playful? Like, okay, I'm just going to try it out. Any stories?
Let me see. Like, that I failed?
Yeah.
You know, I find that when you adopt that type of attitude, you don't really see failure as a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You just see it as a result. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, the idea of failure and success is extremely important, but I also think that life is just results. If I just take that and put it there, it can either be a good result or a bad result, but it's still a result at the end of the day. If I want to go all day labeling things as success and failure, it's like calling everything good and bad. You know, definitions change over the years. It's like if everything was absolute, we would probably still have slavery. You know what I mean? But things change and it's no longer slavery. I know that's like super heavy of a that's like a super heavy topic. But like being real about it is, if things didn't change, we would still be in like the predicament of the 60s. But definitions do change. What it means to be black today is different than what it's meant to be black in the 60s. You know what I'm saying? That definition changed over the years. So for me to be out here labeling things as good and bad and taking that as an absolute, I sort of miss out on a lot of life, because the good things can turn bad and the bad things can turn good. You know, the success that I had could end up being a failure, and that thing that I labeled as a failure can end up being a success. So if I just label it as a result, I don't really give it an identity. Which is, it could be dangerous in a sense, because every philosophy can be broken down with enough questions. You know what I'm saying? It's all about, I was reading this book in the library, in the Hoos Philosophy Library. You know what I'm talking about? Yep. That's a goated library, bro.
I've heard.
And it was talking about how the skeptics, they don't, do you know about the skeptics?
No.
Okay. From the context clues I was getting, another thing I've been doing, I've just been starting stuff. You know what I'm saying? I just pick up a book and read a few pages. So what? Who say I got to read it from beginning to end? I could read it from middle to beginning. You know what I'm saying? If I want to. Sort of giving myself that autonomy again. You know, like a kid. Kids go to the dentist and pick up magazines. They don't just flip to the first page. I'm flipping to where the picture's at. You know what I'm saying? Let me get straight to the nitty gritty. So just getting straight to it, just hopping in the book. And one thing I saw was talking about, like, the skeptics. This was called Inquiry. This book was called Inquiry Something. It was interesting to me, so I opened it. But he was talking about the skeptics and how, yeah, it's easy for them to, like, sort of cruise in life because they accept nothing or something like that. Or it's easy to write things off. I forget. I don't want to talk about anybody who's a skeptic right now and get it wrong and, you know, bash it. But so why I like the book is because it was talking about how to do anything in life, you're going to have to accept something. So no matter what you accept, what your beliefs are, what God you believe in, what religion you believe in, what philosophy you believe in, what subject you believe in, whatever, you're going to have to accept something to get somewhere. Because if you don't accept anything, how can you expect to have a path anywhere? It's like telling a game developer to develop a game, but not giving them a single direction and then no creative autonomy. It's like, make a game. Okay, what do you want? You got to have some sort of direction. So for him to make the, for the game developer to make the game, he's going to have to accept something. Is it going to be a POV game? Is this going to be a multiplayer game, single player game, role player game? You sort of got to start to pick stuff to build a picture. It's like telling an artist to paint, and then he has no idea at all what he wants to do. And that's okay to not have any idea what you want to do, but at the same time, he has no intentions of thinking of anything to do. So now you're just sitting here with a blank acrylic board or whatever, wondering where to paint at, but you're not accepting any idea to put on the damn board. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so for you, what would you say it is like that you're accepting?
Accepting?
Yeah.
Like that playful attitude that I was talking about. Yep. Not taking life so serious like I did before. Believing that I can do anything that I put my mind to. And not like a cringy way to was like, you can do anything. Like I'm the Rock or some shit. But like, in a way, it's like, bro, you can do anything. You can do anything. I can do anything. I can just fucking end the episode right now. I can just click in and walk out the door. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I want to get the episode done, so I'm going to stay here. So that's what I'm doing. You know what I mean? But And then I'm accepting the fact that I once had dreams. And, yes, it's important to have new dreams. But I got to give my old dreams a chance, too. Not the ones that I really just don't want to do anymore. Like, I don't want to go to the NBA. So I'm not going to go pick that dream back up. But I've always wanted to write a book. Mm-hmm. And I always think about it. But I always gaslight myself into thinking it's too late. I'm 19, bro. Like, come on. Well, how late is it? You know, I'm just now getting autonomy at 18. It's been a year since I had this autonomy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've always had it. But, like, legally, you know what I'm saying? When you turn 18, you can do more stuff, quote, unquote. Do anything at any age. But, yeah, I always wanted to write a book. Why don't I go back and pull that back up, man? I want to do that. I don't feel like waiting for that. What else? I really like watching WWE. I'm not saying that was a dream to watch WWE, but that's a hobby that I had that I really enjoyed that made me who I am. I'm going to watch WWE again. Who say I can't? Who say I grew up out of it? I still watch people play video games on YouTube. Mm-hmm. What else? I really like sports. I'm going to go work out. Really want to try out for the football team. I'm going to find a way to do it. But what's not going to happen is it's going to walk into my room and say, Austin, we want you on the football team. The coach not coming to my dorm. He don't know where I stay at. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I got to go put myself out there. I got to go jump. I got to jump off the diving board, the bridge, whatever you want to say, however y'all want to visualize this if you're listening. I got to go jump, bro. Nobody coming to push me off of it. You know what I'm saying? I got to push myself off of it, if anything. But, yeah. That's what I'm accepting.
That's fire, bro. I feel like, obviously, if you don't do stuff like that, you're never really going to achieve anything great, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what is greatness to you? Like, what's your definition of greatness?
That's a good question. I would say just knowing that I'm fulfilling my potential.
Your potential.
Doesn't matter whether I'm billionaire of the world, whether I'm the greatest in this field. It just matters whether I feel like I'm doing the best that I can. And just being right mentally, like doing the right things every day, eating right. Yeah, how about yourself?
What's my definition of greatness? Mm-hmm. Same thing you said, waking up, being an authentic me, not some fake guy. I don't want to be a fake guy. I used to hate really hard conversations, you know that?
Yeah.
I used to avoid the shit out of a really hard conversation. But I'm like, bro, Austin, if you're going to be real, you're going to be this real guy that you want to be. You got to be able to have a hard conversation. You can't just be real sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Well, my definition of real, everybody's definition of real may be different. But if I'm going to be authentically me, mm-hmm. I got to put myself in positions where everything around me going to be authentic. So if I'm faking, my environment going to be fake. Because the universe only mirror what you doing. The universe only mirror what you are. So if I'm this fake individual, everything around me going to be a farce, man. It's going to be fake. But, you know, being real a lot of my life, in my terms, my definition, being real all my life got me here. You know what I'm saying? It's really where I'm supposed to be at. Mm-hmm. I suppose if it wasn't, I'd be somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? And even if you end up in places on accident, quote unquote, you still going to be able to get to where you're going. So say I wasn't really supposed to be at USC. I would have got the inclination to transfer by now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I would have been somewhere else if this wasn't really where I'm supposed to be at. So because I'm still here and circumstances haven't changed, and I'm still waking up, going to class, stuff, grades still good, let me make the most out of what I'm doing. Why would I just sit here? We sitting on a gold mine here at USC, bro. Like, anywhere you go is a gold mine. But we talk about our gold mine right now, which is USC. Mm-hmm. So many people here. And that can be daunting, but that can be inviting at the same time. All you got to do is meet the right few people, and you set. You know what I'm saying? Not even saying for any type of money moves, but for connections for life. Mm-hmm. Like, shout out to my roommate, bro. Karn, that's my guy. Chinedu and Vishnu, those are my guys. Like, those connections right there, bro, I'm set for life on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to still go meet new people, develop new, like, relationships and stuff. But those right there are the ones I, like, really value the most. You know, I eat with these guys, man. I sleep in the same room as these guys. I share laughs with these guys, and I enjoy it because I can feel it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really feel that. The fraternity, I mean, you was asking me about it off the podcast, but still, I really enjoy those guys. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I got some growing up to do in certain areas, you know what I'm saying? But still love those guys, you know what I'm saying? That's my crew. I'm set with that. So certain decisions that I've made have sort of set me up for life. And I really want to stop seeing some things as temporary. Some things are temporary, but not everything is like, I don't have to see everything as temporary, you know what I'm saying? Because if I do, I'm not going to give any real value to it. If I feel like something going to stay in my life for a really long time, I'm going to invest more into it. But if I feel like something is just temporary, I'm going to just let it fade out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
How you feeling, Danny?
I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good.
But, like, how you feeling? Like, not the surface level conversation. We on the podcast right now. All right. What you been feeling lately, man? Like, what's really driving you, gang?
No, bro, just gotta like keep grinding every day. Like, mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. I mean, yeah. I've been going through a lot of like social media stuff, looking through it, trying to like figure it out, yeah, how it works. And bro, that stuff can really hurt your brain.
It can.
I can't lie.
Yeah.
I've been having like real trouble focusing on like getting stuff done.
Yeah.
You know, business hasn't been going too well just because like been getting really busy lately. So,
is there any way you could shout it out right now? People, yeah, can help you.
Of course. Just follow me on it. I'm actually just starting it back up. Like,
oh, what's the business? Talk about it. Let's talk about it. That's how you're feeling.
So last semester, Patrick and I were doing the marketing agency.
Yeah, I know Patrick was doing it. I didn't know we both were doing it though.
No, we were doing it together.
Oh wow.
And we had some clients going, working. We actually did really good work for them. We had more clients, some referrals, and then eventually, like in January, I was like, okay. This is something that Patrick started, and I kind of like hopped on it with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I feel like down the line I would want to like run my own ship.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just tell him like, hey Patrick, I'm just gonna like do it myself and see what I can do. So after that, pretty much I just been dialing in, trying to build it back up, building the website right now, reaching out to prospects, trying to get more.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, let's see where I'm at in a year, right?
Yep. And what market do you feel is untapped, or you want to do every market?
So as of right now, I probably do like a lot of beauty aesthetics, like med spas, plastic surgeons, just because like...
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think about this. Like, that's a genuine question. I'm not saying like, really. I'm like, what the hell? Like, really, plastic surgeons?
Yeah, so pretty much it's like something that's going to keep growing because as you know, we live in LA, and
everybody gonna want some butt.
Girls are always trying, or like women these days are like more about wanting to stay young and more about like looking good for Instagram. So this is something that's continually growing, and there's
it's like a morgue never runs out of customers.
Yeah, exactly. it's growing. So pretty much that's something that Patrick and I were working on. I know the industry. I have some connections in there, and I know how to talk to them, so, mm-hmm, you know, I'm starting this from scratch, and let's see where I'm at in a year.
Like, okay, crazy idea. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? What they said, consulting right now. Is that a thing? That's a profession, right? Consulting?
Yeah.
Check me out. You good at that. Other people aren't good at that. Maybe you could just teach people how to do that. as you try to grow it yourself, though. You don't necessarily need the whole, you know, you don't need the whole empire, you know, to run shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if anybody that wanted to be a king or overthrow a government, if they waited for the government to get all the way built up and then try to overthrow it, they'll lose every time. Like, it's possible. But you're going to lose every time. You sort of got to, like, had a mindset to conquer immediately. So just grow your base with you as you go up. You know what I'm saying? Like, teach people how to do the marketing thing. Teach people how to, you know, run the business. Teach people how to talk to people on the phone. I know some people with, like, call anxiety. They don't know how to talk or cold call or anything or, you know, approach people. Mm-hmm. They aren't really as personable as you. You got a really nice smile, man. You know what I'm saying? You're really cool guy. You make people laugh, you know. Friendly guy. So that's a transferable skill. That's something that people will be willing to learn from you. And I'm not always a money first guy. I should be. I got a lot of good skills that I should be selling. But I just like to give it away sometimes. I get on my own case about it a lot, saying like, bro, you should be making money, this and that. Sell it, sell it, sell it. But this is free information, man. I ain't doing nothing special. I am, not to like put myself down, but anybody can do this. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can run a podcast if you got the right mindset for it. It's not something you can just wake up and do. I'm saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy peasy, but anybody can do anything they want, like I was saying earlier. So, yeah, bro, maybe that's your thing. You know what I'm saying? People want to learn how to build businesses and in the certain business that you in. So maybe people won't do that.
Going back to what you were saying, it's like, sorry, what'd you say? You're like, oh, what else would you want to do in terms of social media?
Yeah.
Like you said, like, I would want to start making content like that.
Yeah.
And then it's something that's very, like, active out on YouTube, Instagram. Like, there's people, of course, you search up how to do this, how to do that.
Yeah.
And then you find certain creators and you, like, consume their content because you want to learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, most businesses, they're not going to watch YouTube videos on this guy and then do it themselves. They don't have the time for that.
So true.
So they're just going to be like, oh, this guy's posting content. He must be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then they reach out to him like, hey, I want to hire you.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the goal someday. Like,
for sure.
Just keep posting stuff. Like, I'm really getting on my sales grind.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start. Well, I do have a few videos up on it, but just start trying to post, like, every day, like, sales content. I'm doing my calls. I'm recording them. And then, bro, eventually people are going to want to, like, come to me for, like, sales training.
Yeah.
That type of stuff.
Yeah. And you know what I want to call it now? Starting ugly. You got to start ugly.
Mm.
Babies don't come out fully developed. You know what I'm saying? They grow into whoever they are. So you just got to start ugly. I always wanted to, you know, do something and hope it blow up and stuff like that. But that's not, like, how it truly works. I got to start ugly. I got to enjoy the, you know, the 100 followers, the 200 followers, the 50 followers. I got to enjoy the 20 likes, the 40 likes before I can even think about enjoying 200,000 likes, the 100,000 likes. You know, I got to start ugly. And I'm falling in love with the process, you know, just not really caring about the outcome in terms of in a lot of instances. Like the YouTube channel, like, you was asking me how that was going. I really love that VHS camera, bro. And I was working with that a lot over break, just recording stuff, my life, just things going on. Not necessarily creating a show for the camera, like creating instances where I'm doing something for a camera, but sort of just letting the camera capture genuine moments. Like I told you, I really like to be authentic. And so now that I'm starting off ugly with that, I want to find a way to sort of take that into making maybe a short film. Mm-hmm. And then one day a long film. Because I got really good director ideas. Well, at least I think they're good. So, I really want to try. I got 5 people. Oh, that boy Vishnu right here in the live.
No, just like you said, like, just being playful and not even worried about the outcome.
Yeah.
Like before you can. But that's something I want to ask you about. Like you said, you can't be worried about or, like, enjoying when something does well.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be down on yourself when something does bad, or, like, good and bad. So, like, how do you feel about that in terms of being consistent and just, like, not even paying attention to how something is performing? Or, like, are you more into, like, when something does do well, you try not to enjoy it, or?
I see. Yeah. Perfect example. With the YouTube, I had a video. Go up. Over the break, it got like 800 views on YouTube. That was the most I ever got on a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Before I got, I think I got like 400 views one time or something like that. Didn't really see it again. I got like two. I think I got 100 and like 200 a couple of times, and I never went up that high before, and I was so excited. I was like, dang, like I wasn't excited until like, oh, this is it. I was just like, wow, this many people are seeing this video right now. But the video was just something I threw up, bro. I didn't even edit it. I took it straight off the VHS camera. I was with my boy Connor. Back in Michigan. That's my guy, bro. Connor Black. Shout out him, bro. I hope you listen to this. But that's my guy. And so we was, it was like, bro, it was like 10, 20 degrees outside. And we was in a jacuzzi. It was so tight, bro. I had a cigar in the jacuzzi. I was watching a movie. Bro, I was chilling, bro. And that's what I recorded, me chilling. And then we went to IHOP, and then I recorded us at IHOP just talking. I wasn't even talking about anything in particular. But when I got back to his house to, like, take it off the camera, I'm like, bro, I'm about to just post this, bro. I don't really care. It was whatever time o'clock at night. And I named the video IHOP at, like, 11 p.m. I just posted it. And then a couple of days went by. And I like looked at it. Like, I checked my YouTube channel. I was like, yo, what the hell? Like, the video's just going up. Like, I see views and views. I'm like, wow. And so, yeah, that really did well. So it was time to post another one. And I get like super, I get superstitious about this type of stuff, because it wouldn't be my first time like being famous on social media. But it's sort of my first time building my own brand to be famous on social media, like using my own face. I've done like faceless stuff. Like, I was famous on Twitter. I was famous on Instagram in like 7th grade, 8th grade, something like that. I think I talked about this before on the podcast. But no, I was like back towards like quarantine days, I was famous on Twitter. Like, you know, like the meme accounts, like they just say stuff and it blows up.
Yeah.
I was one of those guys.
Wow.
Yeah, and I learned that system and everything. And then like in like 7th grade, I had like this meme page that everybody knew me as. It was called Ace the Pimp. It was so funny. I had post was going up, man. It was fun. But that was also something I didn't, like, really take serious. I was just taking stuff I thought was funny and posting it and interacting with people. I really like to interact with people that, like, interact with me. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, somebody comment on my YouTube video, I'm commenting back. I'm like, thanks, bro. Appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know good looks, type shit. Like, I ain't too cool. I want to talk to you, bro. Like, I really want to get to know that person as much as I can through the internet. I'm not saying I'm going to host a meet and greet and try to beat these people, but that interaction means so much to me, not as in, like, giving me validation for my idea, but, like, you took the time to watch something that I created. I really want to thank you, bro. I really want to thank you. I want to show how genuine I am through this comment back saying thank you. So I add an emoji or two. Just tell them I really appreciate it. I really hope people can feel that I appreciate it. But going back to it, like, you know, you was talking about blowing it up. Yeah, so I get superstitious about it. Like, do I post right now? Is it still going up? And I had to take myself out of the mindset of, if you post now, it's going to mess it up. The video going to do what it's going to do. It's already up. So I might as well post what I want to right now. And as I had to, like, retrain myself, so I monitor myself when it comes to stuff like that. When something blows up, I try to monitor myself, like, all right, cool. Be excited, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, smile at it and stuff.
Yeah.
But don't get too big of a head in terms of thinking this is going to happen every time you post. You got to stay humble, bro. Got to stay humble. But don't be too humble. That can get you in a lot of trouble, too. Too much of anything can kill you. I used to be too humble. I got to start flexing a little bit. Not on nobody, but, like, for myself. You know what I'm saying? Saying, Austin, you did that, man. I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so I just tried to stay consistent posting about what I wanted. And so I was going to overanalyze the video, like, well, I named it this. I posted it at this time. This is what I was recording. This is what I was saying. So I got to do those, you know, four or five things. I got to do those four or five things for to blow up again.
Yeah.
But I can't get myself stuck in that, because then I'm going to take away from the genuineness.
You're going to lose the authenticity.
It's not going to be authentic no more. Seriously. So it's just keep going at it. But I really did. One thing I did take was creative titles. IHOP at like 11 p.m. I got a video called Starbs at 6 p.m. At like 6 p.m. I got one I made on Christmas called a Ghetto Christmas Story. Mm-hmm. And it was just me and my cousin hanging around all day. I did another one where I was painting. I got my first commission to paint for somebody over break.
Really?
Yeah, for this lady named Miss Christina. She works at this where I interned at in the summer. She works there. She's the like accountant. She's like really smart. And she got this new office at the building and was like at the building that we have. And she was like, I was like, it's empty in here. And she was like, yeah, I need like some art in here. I was like, well, I do art. You know, I was just talking. I wasn't like pitching her or nothing. She was like, well, you should pay me some. I'm like, all right. You know what I'm saying? I'm down to do it. And she's like, I'll pay for everything. I just want to paint. So she paid for like all the materials and stuff. Mm-hmm. I painted and gave it to her. It was beautiful. And then I gave away like I gave her a paint. I gave my I gave Christy a paint, which is my stepmom. I gave my little cousin a painting. And was that it? I think that was it. I think I did like 3-4 paintings when I was at home. Wow. It was so fun. It was huge too. I got like the big. I love big canvases now, and yeah, that's what the video was. He was like recording me like get the supplies, and then we was back at my house and stuff, and then I ended up mixing it with like hanging out with my little sisters or something. Very like random content, but I feel like it's still on par with something. My life through my eyes is the description on my YouTube channel. It's just life through my eyes.
Exactly, bro. Like, just recording yourself, what you're doing every day. Because, like, if you're out here trying to drum up content, like, writing it down in your notes, like, this is what I'm going to do, and I have to say this. Like, you're not going to want to do it, bro. Like, you...
It's going to feel like a job.
Yeah, like, that was probably fun for you and just having it. And then if one day that starts paying dividends for you, like, so be it. That would be cool, but for now you're like enjoying the process,
chilling, bro. Yeah,
is what I rock with.
And I've been doing like party reviews too with the VHS camera. Oh, it's so hard, bro. It's so fun. Like, so I'll go to a party and bring the VHS camera and sort of just make a recap of the party. Party recaps. I've been doing that. That's really fun because I really like music as well. So like anything to do with like film and production, like I'm like super into, like naturally though. Another thing I've been doing is I told you I watch a movie a day, right?
Yeah.
I also do the movie reviews. Like, I review it, too. And it's really fun to get, like, super intellectual about it sometimes. Sometimes I just watch the movie and, like, log it. But other times I'm like, yeah, you know, this movie, like, really made me think about my life and this, and that. And I was like, I think the director was really trying to get across the point that the main character was conflicted. You know what I'm saying? Like, just certain stuff. Like, I really like to talk about this stuff. Like, I like to write. So that's just certain stuff I do. And I don't do it necessarily for it to blow up. You know what I'm saying? The account that I got is public. It's on Letterboxd. You ever heard of that?
No, but I do follow you on all platforms. Like, is this some other account that
I'm not aware of? this is like just a movie review type app. It's called Letterboxd. So if you like apps, it's not like an ad right now. This is not an ad. Anybody, okay. But it's a really good app. Do you like movies?
I used to. Okay. I used to.
If you ever get into movies, you just want to log all the movies that you see, Letterboxd is a really good app. And I just go on there and I just say what I want to say and post it. You know what I'm saying? I got like 4 followers on there. I don't know where they came from. I follow them back. So it's just, it's 4 people that see what
not
I post.
Not too cool. Not too cool.
Not too cool, bro. You know what I'm saying? Not too cool. But yeah, so I like to post like the movie reviews, and I don't really look for too much out of it. I'm not here to say, dang, bro, the movie review that I wrote didn't blow up. Bro, I got to stop reviewing movies. I'm going to review movies regardless because it's my time capsule. And if somebody want to come join and read it and give me, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down or anything, cool. But other than that, I'm just doing stuff to do it. And eventually, it'll probably help to get a bit more structure to it. But that's if I'm trying to do it as a career or something. Or if it really start to blow up, I will start to, I would kind of change my motto a little bit. Not deviating too far from what I do, but if people watching it, it's nice to hear what people have to say, good or bad. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I like to pay attention to the good, but the bad gonna be there too. But most of the comments I get really just say keep going, bro. So people are enjoying that. I don't want to follow the like what's it called? The model that everybody posts. Your channel needs to be this. You need to have a set this, and you need to post this, and you got to use these hashtags, and you got to have a suit on, or you got to wear blue. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just want to post my videos, gang.
Facts.
That's just really, I just want to post my videos.
I mean, I like that you say that. Like you said, when you put yourself out there, there's always going to be those people who have, like, negative stuff to say. Mm-hmm. Like, that's part of putting yourself out there, mm-hmm. right? But something I noticed is, like, when you do get that positive feedback, like, let's say you get 10 thumbs down, mm-hmm. but someone in the comments says, keep going, this is fire, like, that makes it worth it.
That take you a really long way.
Yeah. Like, bro, over the last semester, I shot, like, so many shots in different, mm-hmm. different fields, like, mm-hmm. trying... Cold calling, that was something that really took me out of my comfort zone, man.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I do that too, time limit.
Yeah.
Bro, I always feel like crap when I when I do that, remind me in 15 minutes.
Oh, God.
If I do that 3 times in one day.
That's an extra 45 minutes, gang.
Yeah, I'm not proud of that. But what was I saying about?
You were saying that. Wait, no, I remember. You were saying the cold calling really took you out of it.
Yeah, like, I've always been, like, a extra introvert where, like, if I know you, then I'm going to be, like, super smiley, super funny, like, mm-hmm. charming and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, but when it came to, like, strangers and being in, like, uncomfortable situations, I would just be, like, shelled up, mm-hmm. you know, wait for people to make me feel comfortable before mm-hmm. I start expressing myself. But I was like, all right, this cold calling stuff, like, it's going to really help me get out of my shell. I'm going to be getting rejected. There's yeah. people going to be hanging up on me yes. as I'm speaking.
Yes.
And it's about not taking it personal. Like, I've always, unfortunately, taken things personal in my life. Like,
hey, it makes sense. We're human.
Like, someone doesn't say what's up to me after I had a little chop up with them.
You know what I'm saying?
At this and that. I'm like, okay.
What's up with that?
Yeah. You know? Like you said, like, commenting on people's stuff on YouTube, IG, like, following people back, like, that's something that I live by, because I don't like that when you, like, talk to someone one time and you have, like, a good conversation, and then next time they walk past you, like,
what's up with that? I'm like, I thought we was cool, bro. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Man. But, nah, I'm feeling you, bro. That's good that you came out of your comfort zone like that.
Yeah.
That's really what it's all about. What else? Well, no, do you got anything else to say? I'm listening.
I mean, dude, I can say that's pretty much my motto, like, just try new things that get me out of my comfort zone. Like, this right now, like, I've never been on a podcast.
Well,
like,
this is your first one.
I've never had it, like, oh, you got to say something interesting because the people watching are, they're watching you, right? So you can't be boring, right?
Man. They want to hear what you got to say. They want to hear everything you got to say. People are listening, bro.
That's the thing, though. I can't be thinking that way. Like, all love to everyone watching, but, like, you can't be thinking that way. Like, that's when the pressure gets on you.
I feel you.
You start acting like,
oh, somebody else and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel you. So. My thing is, people want to hear it. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And they just want to hear what you got to say. They don't want to hear anything in particular in my eyes.
Yeah.
They just want to hear what Danny has to say. Danny, if you have an opinion, you are entitled to it, as long as it's, you know, within the guidelines. I don't want you getting on here making people mad. I don't even want to get on here and make people mad. Yeah. But I run that risk every time I talk.
Exactly.
I run that risk every time I open my mouth. I run that risk every time I speak. So I can't think too much about it, but I like to take people into consideration.
Yep.
But other than that, people are interested. And one thing that I got myself into was thinking that nobody was interested. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares. It's like 50 million different ways I can look at saying nobody cares. And it's 100 million more ways I could think about people do care. Like, people are interested. And so it's easy to make the mistake of everybody's interested. Nope. Not everybody gonna be interested.
Mm-hmm.
But people are interested in you. You just got to find those people, or they got to find you. But nobody, you're not going to be able to find anything if you stay in the corner with your back turned to everybody mm-hmm. talking to yourself. Nobody's going to know you're there. You can be there all you want. I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. Yeah. You can stay over there. But, like, if you want somebody in your life, you can't stand in that corner and just, you know, be there hoping somebody come tap you on the shoulder and say, come hang out with us.
Yup.
It's not how it works. I'm not saying you got to go speak in front of 100 people or 50 people, but you got to speak to somebody.
Yep.
Or something, you know, something. You got to get something rolling in motion.
That's really getting down to the bones of it, bro. Yeah. I would say my best friends that I've met here have probably come from, like, doing that, like, talking to the person next to you. Like, I've had times where I've talked to the person next to me in class. You know how it is the first week.
That's how I met you.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you talk to the person right next to you. Yeah. And then, like, yesterday in class, some girl was in my econ class. She probably don't follow you, so I'm going to say this. We're doing classwork together. Teacher's like, oh, you guys collaborate with each other and come up with an answer.
Yeah.
So I'm asking her, I'm like, hey, what's your thoughts on this? Like, blah, blah, blah. She doesn't even look my direction. I'm not even there. Like, I'm a ghost. So I'm like, okay, that's all good. You know, like, that's part of it. If you're going to make friends, you're going to, like, meet new people, you're going to have to, like, deal with those type of situations.
But, you know, sometimes people be anxious and everything. I like to jump to the conclusion, like, bro, she just rude, bro. Everybody's so rude.
Yeah.
But people are extremely socially anxious. So you might have been so cool that she was like, I don't know. I gotta ignore him to out-cool him. I gotta out-cool him by acting like I don't hear him.
All right.
You get what I'm saying?
I'm gonna tap her. I'm gonna tap her on the shoulder next time. I'm like, hey,
what do you think about this? I really need this answer. Yeah. Nah, I'm playing. But seriously, though. Yeah. So people are interested. We just got to be able to go find them.
You know what? That's something I've heard a lot. Is what? Like, people are socially anxious, and you can't really approach them a certain way because they're scared. They're scared to say something back. It's not that they don't mess with you. It's that they're scared to say something back.
It's so true, though.
But on the other side of the coin is, let's say that they're not socially anxious.
And they just rude.
They're just rude. When you're over here keeping, like, hey, this and that, you know, like, I understand. Like, this person might be socially anxious, and you keep talking to them. They're like, who the hell is this creepy dude? Like, this dude's freaking weird. He's always talking to me, and I don't even.
But guess what, bro? You know who fault that is?
Who?
Theirs. That ain't your fault. That you the goat? You know what I'm saying? I just walk around. I'm the goat.
Yeah.
I'm him. You know what I'm saying? Not in, like, some overzealous, cocky way, but, bro, I'm him. You know what I'm saying? So whatever you got going on, bro, that's all you. And whatever I got going on, that's all me.
Yeah.
It's the fingers only point back at you, man.
Yeah.
Everything that you put out is only coming from within. You can't say or do anything that's not already in you. You know what I'm saying? You can't say or do anything that is outside of you because everything is up here. So if everything up here is fake, then everything that's coming out your mouth is going to be fake. But if everything up here comes from, you know, love, kindness, you know, peace, you know what I'm saying? Just keeping it mellow. That's what it's going to be. That's what's going to come out. And if somebody in front of you can't reciprocate it, it's not because anything you doing or your personality or anything you got going on. It's because whatever factors created them as a person growing up, yesterday, tomorrow, whatever they got going on, whatever factors make them as a human being, that's them. It has nothing to do with you, Danny. And that's a really important lesson that I learned. I read the book called Four Agreements, and that was one of them. Don't take anything personal. Really good.
I read that one as well.
A.W. book, I'm telling you.
Yep.
And he was saying, like, we can only project what we are. Mm-hmm. So if she want to be Hollywood, bro, I hope she can make it to the red carpet. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, acting like that go get you real far, I guess. I don't know.
Yo, how did you even come up with that line right now?
What?
It was a crazy line.
I just said?
Yeah. Oh. You want to be Hollywood, I hope she make it to the red carpet. Like, what?
No, I just came up with that.
There's no way.
I swear to God, I just came up with that.
That was tough.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate
it.
I really like pattern recognition. So I'm good at coming up with stuff on the spot. It's like a really good, I guess, a talent or a gift. I like to call it a gift. I could come up with really good one-liners. It just got to be right. Nah, not even. It just got to be the right time. If I'm talking, they sort of just come out. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. But, hey, it's already been an hour.
No way it's already been an hour.
54 minutes and 15 seconds.
I was just warming up, too. It took, like, 30 minutes for me to, like,
feel like it.
My frequency to start getting, like, chill and stuff. But that's part of the process whenever you do something for the first time, right?
Yep. That's why I love these episodes, because people can see you grow through your voice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm kind of recording it right now by having the, you know, the live going or whatever.
Yep.
But vocally, though, people see you open up from the beginning. You know, you might be a little bit timid, Even myself, I don't really. We never sat down and had a conversation this long about this type of stuff.
Yeah.
But we made it work. Mm-hmm. So it's important to stick through it. Now, it would be cool to, you know, have some little prep before the episode. So we can get to it quicker. But I guess this is what is so unique about Minds, I guess. People could see you just grow. I watched you go through the podcast, man.
You ever watch some of your old episodes and just, like, look back on, like, what is different now versus back then?
To be honest, I've never listened to one of my old episodes.
Yo, that's the process of not fixating on how stuff is going on.
I don't even look back.
Yeah.
I put it up. People tell me they like it. I say, thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I go on to the next episode, bro. I don't know.
Okay.
That could be, I don't know. I do not want to say I don't know.
Dude, have you been into philosophy for a long time now? I feel like that's something you're very big on. Like, you have very good, like, on TikTok, right?
Yeah.
BOE page. Like, you're dropping some stuff. Like, you is or you ain't.
Yeah.
That one was fire.
Thanks, bro. But, yes, I have been into philosophy for a really long time. But, I've always been into reading and sort of regurgitating information and mixing information. So I'll take two different conversations I had and sort of compare them together and come up with something new, some new idea or something. Or when I read, I like to do, what do they call that? Active reading, what did the lady just call it in my discussion class today? I guess, you know, like we read when you annotate, like you annotate and read.
Yeah.
You sort of try to see what the author is trying to say and stuff.
Yeah.
I like to do that. I like to think.
Really consume it, right?
Yeah, like take it in and what is it? Like even when I'm watching movies, last night I watched a movie called Mama's Boy. And that was a movie I just wanted to watch to like laugh at. Like it's a really good movie. I like those 2000 movies where it's just funny. Like you've seen Step Brothers?
Yeah.
Movies like that. I can pull some philosophy out of that movie, but that's a movie I just like to watch to like laugh. But another movie I watched was Submarine. That's a really good movie. And it's not even about a submarine. But it's about this, I think it's a biography. I don't know. It's about this guy named Oliver. He's from England. And he has his first girlfriend. And his mom cheats on his dad or something. He's trying to fix his parents' marriage. And the whole movie is just fixed around those two things. And it was a really good movie. But it was the way I described it when I wrote the review was, I gave it like one sentence. I said, this movie feels like a poem. And what I meant by that was you see this, you get this individual, he was 15 in the movie, but he was one of the kids that's like usually like skipped over, not like, you know, super nerdy, but not a guy that's like, you know, all the way in the mix, not popular, but not lame. He's sort of like in the middle where he know people, but he's not the type of dude to, like, interact. He's okay with being alone and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was like he was just being truly, like, just him. And you sort of see, like, how people go through stuff. It was just a movie just getting a glimpse into somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
And not to dig too deep into it, like, oh, there's, like, depression and stuff like that. But you sort of just get to be a part of somebody's happenings, I'll call it. And another movie I watched, you know Al Pacino?
Yes.
He has a movie called The Scent of a Woman. And it's he plays a blind character, and there's this prep school dude named Charlie, which is more on the broke side. You know, you get these private school kids, you're going to have to be really broke. I'm not going to say I was broke, but I wasn't, you know, as wealthy as the kids that I went to school with. Mm-hmm. Not saying I was beneath them or anything. It was different tax brackets, you know what I'm saying? Like, they parents own teams and stuff. Like, I think the dude who owned the Red Wings, which is a hockey team, his son went to my high school.
Yeah.
I never talked to the kid. He was like a kid because we go like 7th through 12th grade.
Yeah.
But he goes there, you know what I'm saying? So you just get to see like the different, like the tax bracket.
Dude, it's the same thing here.
Yeah, you know, right. So going to USC. But yeah. I say that to say the kid, Charlie, he was just looking for a job over Thanksgiving break because he went to, it's a boarding school. So you like, I think you stay at the school or whatever. He wanted to make some money over Thanksgiving break, and he ended up meeting Al Pacino, which was a blind former lieutenant, like army general guy. And he's just supposed to like babysit him, I guess, because his caretaker or whatever was like leaving out or something. And it wasn't like some caretaker like nurse where you got to feed him and stuff. He's just blind. So It could be hard to find some stuff. She's just watching after him. And he took Charlie, which is the prep school boy, to New York for, like, the weekend. And Charlie started out with, like, freaking out. He's like, bro, I can't afford this. I can't do it. I got to get back to school. Because he was dealing with something at school. He's like, man, I got to get back to school. I'm going through the situation, And the situation, if you want to know about it, was, like, he seen some people vandalize the principal's car or something, and they wasn't snitching, and they was trying to get him to snitch. And, you know, something like that. So he trying to deal with that. And so the movie was sort of like, just let up, bro. Like, don't be so down on yourself. Have fun. He got to ride a Ferrari with a blind man, and he let the blind man ride the Ferrari. But he sort of became a pinnacle in somebody's life, the blind guy. Not, I'm spoiling it right now, but Al Pacino was, like, sort of suicidal, too, in the movie, right? And so he wanted to just have a good couple of days in New York, and he was going to kill himself in the hotel room. And so at first, Charlie wasn't messing with the guy. He thought he was rambunctious, you know, weird or whatever. He's like, man, this guy or whatever. He sort of intimidated by his presence because he was such a character. And when he found out that he wanted to kill himself, Charlie's like, bro, no, like, you don't have to do that and stuff. So he sort of, like, they sort of start to grow this, like, relationship to where, instead of Charlie just being timid and anxious about everything, a blind man teaches a guy who can actually see how to live life, you know what I'm saying? In just a couple of days. Get out of your own head, you know what I'm saying? Nothing can get worse than not being able to see or interact with life. And so, so he does that, hangs out with the guy, and then they get back, what happened? All right, whatever. It ended. I don't care. What's it called? Oh, man. What happened?
You were talking about Charlie was he was getting taught how to live life?
Yeah, he was getting taught how to live life. And, So Al Pacino ended up teaching him. No. Okay, so they get done with the trip. They get done with the trip, and he has to go back to deal with the situation, right?
Yeah.
And so the thing is, the guy that he was in a situation with, because it was two of them when they witnessed it or whatever, one was a rich guy, and then Charlie was, like, broke, I guess you could say.
A brokey?
Yeah, he was a brokey. But the guy that was rich was able to have his dad support him at this. The principal put this big assembly on, like it was a jury case, to put these guys on the spot. Yeah, don't undo it. I don't think so. No. Yeah, just, but no. Sorry. So, yeah, I don't know what happened. But, so he put him on the spot or whatever, and Charlie wasn't going to have nobody to represent him. But Al Pacino ended up coming in to represent him, and he put on a really good case for him. But it was just a lot to be learned through that. It was just a lot to be learned through that movie.
Yeah.
And, which is, maybe I can read one of the reviews. But yeah, how you feel about that, man?
Dude, I feel like you said, like you study people through movies and you try to look at different mind frames.
Yes.
Dude, that's what I do on a daily basis. Like, I do a lot of people watching and like...
Yeah.
And like, I'll think about different people who I talk to, just really like see how they think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll look at people who I just kind of like admire what they're doing.
Yeah.
And just think about like, I wonder how this person sees life. Like some, I'm not even trying to sound like a Glazer D1 fan or anything.
Yeah.
But like someone like LaMelo Ball, like that's someone who I like try to like understand their mind. Like,
yeah.
Like this dude, he has the most outrageous tattoos. You seen like the alien on the back, and he like wears the most outrageous fits. He plays in the NBA like it's street ball, bro. Like,
but I love it though.
I'm trying to think, like, how does he have this sort of confidence? And
I wish I can get him on the podcast. Maybe one day I can get, like, celebrities and stuff.
He's too cool, nonchalant.
Nah,
he's,
fuck that. He can go get on this podcast. I don't care who you is. That's one thing. I don't care, bro. Yeah. Be famous as you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
If your name is Denzel Washington, you are Denzel Washington. Yeah. You're not Mr. Denzel Washington in all the movies. You a regular guy to me. Dude. That's how I like to treat people.
Literally, no... That's something that I've noticed too. Like, that's really helped me with my confidence and like other people, what they may think of me. It's like, no one is God, pretty much. Like, the only person you should care about what they think or like fear or whatever is pretty much God. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone else is just another person. They do the same things you do. blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. It's whatever. So yeah. I pulled up one of my reviews. It's really long, but do you want to hear it?
Yeah, let's check it out.
This is about a movie called Wrist Cutters, a love story. And it was about this guy who killed himself, right? And he gets to this place where people that kill themselves go. It wasn't like hell or anything, but it was like just this land. It was based in California, which was sweet because I noticed what it was like when I seen it. But it was So he gets there and he's like bored for about a few weeks, and he ended up meeting the guy that was cool. So he ended up hanging out with him, and what he wanted to do was he ended up talking to somebody at like a store or something, and the guy told him that his ex girlfriend was there too. Like she killed herself. It was a guy that he knew. He was like, "Yeah, your girl killed herself." He was like, "What?" So he started to look for her. And then on the way through there, he ended up finding another girl that was, like, super cool. And they sort of, like, you know, getting into it and stuff in terms of, like, you know, getting to like each other. Finally found his girlfriend, found out it was – he figured out why it was his ex or whatever. You know, like, he remembered why he left to begin with, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, that's basically what the movie is. And this is the review. A love story beyond life and death. First of all, while Wrist Cutters, a love story, is unconventional in the best way, it takes a bleak premise. A young man named Zia ends his life and wakes up in an afterlife for those who have committed suicide and transform it into a quirky, poignant, exploration of love, redemption, and self-discovery. The story follows Zia as he navigates this strange new existence, a world that mirrors life but with all the color and joy drained out. When he learns that his ex-girlfriend has also died, he embarks on a road trip with his new friend Eugene, a Russian musician, and Mikhail, a rebellious hitchhiker, which is the girl that he ended up liking, Mikhail. Along the way, Zia discovers a love that feels genuine and learns to find meaning even in a place designed for hopelessness. Mm-hmm. What struck me most about the film was its ability to blend dark humor and profound emotional truths. The depiction of the afterlife is surreal yet oddly relatable. It feels like an extension of the protagonist's despair, where everything is slightly worse but still familiar. The setting, with its desert landscapes and outskirts of Los Angeles, cleverly mirrors the theme of unrealized dreams. Being in like LA, like people want to go to Los Angeles and be the star. So the movie being put there is like, you know, like unrealized potential. Like you kill yourself, what could you have been? Or you wanted to live at one point, but you killed yourself. So now you're in, like, a bland L.A. where it's, like, you want to be something, but you never made it or something like that. L.A., often called the land of opportunity, becomes a haunting reminder that even in the afterlife, everyone is still chasing something. The characters are rich with symbolism. Mikhail, for instance, chews gum throughout the film, a small detail that turns out to represent rebellion. I looked it up. Her defiance against the rules of this liminal world parallels the idea that no matter the circumstances, we have the power to challenge our fate. This ties beautifully to the film's message. Life, even in its bleakest moments, is shaped by our choices and beliefs. It was a line in there that said, "You can believe whatever you want. Just know that whatever you believe is going to come true." Wait, was that a line in there or did I say that? Oh, no,
whatever
that wasn't.
Was, it's profound.
That was profound. Yeah, you can believe whatever you want. Just know that whatever you believe is going to come true. Zia's journey is especially poignant. He is a stereotypical tragic figure, but a young man grappling at the weight of existence, much like any of us. I found myself relating to his struggles, not in the sense of contemplating his actions, but in feeling lost in search for meaning. His growth throughout the film as he learns to open himself up to love and the hope feels both personal and universal. One of the film's most beautiful messages is that love is not limited to romance. It's also about learning to love and forgive yourself. By the end of Zia's story, it's not just a tale of finding a partner, but also a journey of self-acceptance. The film's unconventional approach to suicide as a narrative device is bold and thought-provoking, showing that even those who feel they've reached the end of the road deserve a second chance. If I had one critique, it would be that the film's pacing occasionally lags in the middle and some stuff like that. I ain't trying to read that and talk down on them. But that's one of them, yeah.
Whoa. Oh, that seems like you put a lot of effort into that, bro.
Yeah. And then...
Is that something you just, like, got lost in? You just start writing? You just hop into a flow state?
Yeah. This is one of those things. Oh, it was another one that I watched. and it was called, I was just thinking about it when I wrote it, maybe After Hours. Let's see. Okay, so After Hours was a good movie, too. And it was about this guy who, what happened? He ended up meeting this, he met this girl at, like, coffee shop at, like, night. Sort of shot a shot at her. She gave him his number. She gave him her number. And then, like, called him up, like, late, and he pulled up. But it ended up turning up into this, like, really, like, spiraling, like, movie. So I'll read it. The side mission of all side missions. Martin Scorsese's After Hours is a masterful explanation of the surreal and mundane colliding in a single chaotic night. It's a film that perfectly captures the universal feeling of being stuck in an escalating nightmare where all you want to do is go back home, but every step forward seems like you take a bunch further away, like, you know, backwards. Watching Paul Hackett, which is the main character, stumble through his bizarre odyssey reminded me of moments when life spirals out of control, and I think we've all been in his shoes at one point. The story begins innocently enough. Paul, a word processor in Manhattan, meets an intriguing woman, Marcy, and decides to visit her apartment downtown, like, super late at night. What starts in as an attempt at a romantic connection quickly derails into a series of strange encounters with eccentric characters, from a really protective sculptor, which was old girlfriend, to a vengeful mob of locals convinced Paul is a criminal. That was funny. Scorsese definitely turns New York City into a labyrinth where logic breaks down and coincidences rule, creating a sense of disorientation. This mirror Paul's descent into desperation. So it's like the later he's up, the more crazier stuff get. To get a better understanding, have you seen American Psycho?
Yes.
Okay, so you remember, like, at the end when Patrick Bateman was, like, going around and nothing seemed, like, real? Was that?
It's been a minute.
How about Fight Club? Fight Club? Okay, at the end of Fight Club where it was, like, he killed him, but he wasn't dead, and it was he like the city was blowing up and stuff like that.
Yep.
That's sort of how it felt. Like, the later it got, it was just, like, more and more crazy. Oh, wow, I wrote that. Patrick Bateman is running around the city. I believe this movie was used as a reference. Oh, I think when they made American Psycho, they looked at After Hours. I think that, in my eyes, it would make sense because, you know, everybody draws references from something. Or even Fight Club, the essence of the movie is largely reflected in this one. Chaos, confusion, and exhaustion. You remember how the dude couldn't sleep? He had to dang on sleep. What was it?
Insomnia?
Yeah, he had insomnia. That's what it feels like. The longer you're up, the crazier things seem. Yeah. So what makes After Hours so brilliant is his ability to balance absurdity with raw emotion. Paul's ordeal is hilarious, terrifying, and relatable all at once. Scorsese's kinetic direction amplifies it with the inventive camera work, the dizzying pans, the camera angles, or whatever. Let's see. No. Oh, I was saying, like, it could have been better if he used, like, POV shots. Like, did you see the new Bad Boys?
Nah, bro.
Okay, so in the new Bad Boys, it was like you could see, like, Will Smith, like, they had, like, the camera. Mm-hmm. Like, hoisted up to where you could see his face, and he was, like, holding a gun. You could, like, follow him his eyes. It would have been, like, cool to see, like, just Paul. Like, just a shot with just Paul, like, looking around, like, being confused and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
Austin, you typed a lot in there.
Yeah, I did. I can't keep reading that shit. I can't keep reading that. But
Is that your whole, like, gallery or what? Work?
Like, all these movies? Yeah, these are movies that I just watched.
Oh, wow.
That I remember watching, too. I wanted to fill my list up, so I put everything I kind of remember watching, but I've seen a lot.
I mean, like, those, you have reviews written for all of those.
Not all of them. Most of them, no, a lot of them. I started to do more.
Is that 10 Things I Hate About You?
Yeah, I got to watch it. Where is it at?
I thought you watched that one.
No, I heard about that movie, though.
Yeah.
It's one of my friend's favorite movies. I got to watch it. But, yeah, so just stuff like that. I like to get lost and stuff. So when you ask about the philosophy and stuff, yeah, I took a big liking into it around COVID. I think that's one of my favorite things that I got out of COVID was I was able to sort of what they call it when you hoist, not hoist, but take control of my, I don't know, showcase my talent in reading. I don't know. I forget.
Find your calling.
I guess. It's something like that. Yeah. I was able to utilize what I had.
Like self-reflect?
Yeah. I had a lot of time to self-reflect and grow the skill of like just being able to analyze philosophy and stuff.
Yeah.
Because at first it started with stoicism, I think, and then it was a bunch of other stuff I really liked. And sort of, and I just got into the habit of just learning from everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what I want to say. I just learn from everything and everybody at any point. I take every conversation like I'm learning something new. I'm deeply interested in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, bro.
Oh.
That was a lot.
I mean, appreciate you having me, bro.
No problem, it was.
I know you got a good podcast going. It's Danny coming on. I wasn't sure, but really glad we got there.
Bro. It was a beautiful episode.
Appreciate that, bro.
No problem. Don't be worried, bro. It's going to be good.
All right.
Now, wait. Before you take your headphones off.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, I do this to everybody. I need a quote of the day. Yeah.
I'm just go with either you is or you ain't.
Hey.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me get some claps up in there for you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's all you, bro. Them claps was for you, bro.
Appreciate that, Austin.
No problem, gang. All right, have a good one, bro. All right. Thank y'all. Bye-bye. Love y'all. Ah.